So the devil came in this morning and tried to attack my world. He gets defeated one more time. One more time. Yeah. We had rehearsal. We were ready for worship. And I got a call, and Danielle had a grandma seizure this morning. And that's something you don't ever want to hear. All of his promises are yes and amen. His timing isn't right sometimes for me anyway. It's always right for him. So we just keep praying, and we keep moving forward. And we're here to worship in the name of Jesus in spite of anything he might try to do, in spite of anything. You walked in here this morning, and I want to say hey to the guests too. You walked in here this morning. I apologize for not being here early to greet most of you, but I just was over there taking care of where I needed to be, and me and Brandon went over and just checked on her. She's fine. She just texted Liz a few moments ago and said, I'm good. And so I'm praising God for all of that, but I'm telling you, he's done everything he can this week to kick my rear end. And I'm going to be honest, he won a couple of times. And so when you allow the enemy to win, let's just put it that way, can we just be honest and say sometimes he does? Now, we all know as believers, he does not win the war. The war is already won. Jesus is Lord and King, no matter what happens here. But sometimes he just does. And so today I've entitled the message, and unknowingly of all this other stuff that happened this morning, I've entitled the message, When the Enemy Wins. And it's really a message. I hope this is practical for you. This is a standalone. We're not in a series or anything. And for the next 3 or 4 weeks, we're going to be that way until we get to the Christmas season. Hard to believe we're almost there. But I want to start with a passage of Scripture. It's probably the most obscure. No, I will just say it's the most obscure passage I've ever read from a stage out of the Bible. And when I read it, you're going to go, what in the world is he going to do with this? And here's the passage. It's in your notes. If you have a Bible with you, or if it's on your phone or device or whatever, please go ahead and get that ready. We're going to be in the Old Testament book of Leviticus for just a little bit of time. Not much. Not much. Leviticus is that book of the Bible you get to and you go, okay, I'm done. Literally, I mean, Genesis is awesome. Reading Exodus is great, and you can got the numbers, and you get to Leviticus, and you go, what is going on in the Word of God? And there's a lot of study that has to go behind all of that to see it. But here's the passage we're reading from today. These are the birds that are detestable to you. Yes, that's what I just read. These are the birds that are detestable to you. You must never eat them. Which kind of suggests from the text that he had to tell them that for a reason. It's the same thing that on your gas pumps, when you look at it, it says, ingesting gasoline will kill you. Because somebody had to read that somewhere, because they got to the gas pump and went, you know what, I think I'm a little thirsty. I don't know. You must never eat them. The griffin vulture, the bearded vulture, the black vulture, the kite. Didn't know there was a bird called a kite. The falcons of all kinds, ravens of all kinds, the eagle owl, the short-eared owl, the seagull, hawks of all kinds, the little owl. That just cracks me up. I'm going to say cormorant. You say what you need to. The great owl, the barn owl, the desert owl, the Egyptian vulture, the stork, herons of all kinds, the hoopoe, and the bat. Amen. Yes, sir. Who sat down for breakfast and said, Mama, I need a big old bowl of bat for breakfast, okay? And some of you may know what a hoopoe is, but I did not. So I started down this road to study, not the hoopoe, but another word I'll tell you in just a moment. And it led me to this bird. Go ahead and put the picture up. Let's just go. This is a hoopoe. Yeah, it looks like a really colorful, what do you call those things that talk, cockatoo, whatever, you know, whatever. This is the hoopoe, quite pretty bird, actually. I'm not sure what would possess someone to want to eat one, but they were told not to do that. So here's the deal. This beautiful creature, bright feathers, proud little crown on his head, and a call that says, hoop, hoop, hoop. I just read it. I don't make this stuff up. Centuries ago, the French considered the hoopoe something to be mocked because the vanity of this bird, its proud crest poked out, caused it to be lofty and fooled and strutting around in times when he was unaware of the danger that was there to kill him. And over time, the bird's name, which in French I think is pronounced hoopé, I don't know, I don't speak French, but it just sounds French when you say hoopé. I don't know why. The hoopé, that word became our English word over time. This is like from the 16, 1700s, over time became our word dupe. That's a backward study I just did for you because I thought, what does dupe actually mean? And I started studying the etymology of this word. It led me all the way back to this bird. And when it mentioned it was in the Bible, I thought, oh, there's my sermon illustration. Duped. I asked Liz, I said, do you know what? I said, just define the word dupe. And she said, oh, yeah, that's easy. No worries. It's something that's fake. It's like a purse. It's supposed to be a name brand, but it's really not. And you guys are shaking your head like you know what she's talking about. I had never heard of that before. It's like having a pair of Nikes but that look like Nikes with the swoosh, but it's not really Nikes. You just somebody taped a swoosh on a tennis shoe. It's a fake. Now, unfortunately, the word dupe and the word for that dupe, those are two different kinds of dupes, but the same meaning. That you get tricked into something that looked good but wasn't real. That was deceiving you into something you thought you might need in the moment. And being duped or tricked usually winds up making you look like a foolish person. And that's exactly what the enemy has done to me this week. And he will never ever tell you the truth. He will always try to dupe you. The Bible calls him a roaring lion, but no lion walks up on its prey necessarily, I don't think. And roaring as he walks up, there's this sneak up, and there's this blending in with everything, and this quiet kind of walk, almost like a whisper until it's too late, and then the roar comes. The devil shows us something shiny, a temptation, a shortcut. Compromise is a sin. Well, I didn't really lie. You're duped. It's a promise of something that's empty inside. And before we know it, we have been duped by the enemy. And the thing we said we would never, ever, I swear I will never do this again. Lord, if you'll just get me through this, I will never do this again. And you don't for a little while, and then you get duped. And there you are. And the enemy's won again. And I don't know about you, but I'm a little tired of it. For me to leave Danielle's house, and I can't talk about it much because I get so emotional, I won't be able to finish, and to come back over here, and I don't know if you, I hope you don't watch any of us on stage. We don't want to be seen. We try to do what we do. I love it when you guys are worshiping with your hands up and maybe your eyes closed or you're looking up to heaven and you don't see any of us this morning because as I'm playing, I'm beating the hell out of the devil. That's what I'm trying to do. This morning especially, because as I'm playing and I'm crashing cymbals and all those things, it's not a time to show out what I can do because my prowess isn't all that great. And the moment I try to do that, all the team knows, there's Keith trying to show out because I mess up the entire song. But when we are living for God, that even in the moment of a difficulty, a time when you don't know what to do, when you feel defeated, you cannot stay in that place. Nor can you excuse one sin for another. Don't let selfish ambition grab you so much that when someone does something against you, your emotions carry you to places that you shouldn't go. That's where I usually get kicked in the teeth. Don't allow yourself to say, well, I deserve this because I did such and such. No. And let's not be in comparison of one sin over another. Well, gossip isn't too bad, but drunkenness, now that's a bad sin. And generally, the sins that are worse are the sins that you commit that I don't. It's easy for me to say, well, at least I'm not like that. There's a story Jesus tells about two guys praying, and one says, well, I'm glad I'm not like that guy. And the other guy goes, I'm just a sinner. And he was the one justified. we will excuse ourselves based on the moment, and when we do, we are duped. And I want to say this really quickly. I had to write this out in my notes. I didn't put it on the screen. In that moment when it seems that he has won, there is a heart inside of us that still beats for Jesus. And as long as there is breath in us, the seeming victory from the enemy turns into just one more time that I get to slap him around a little bit. That's living the Christian life. It is not going to church. It is not just hanging out and having a great time or being blessed and highly favored all the time. Sometimes I'm unblessed and very difficult, having a difficult day, and because the enemy's got me around the throat. This is a war, everybody, and we have to be on guard, because if we don't, we're duped, we're fooled, our chest is out, and we're wearing our crown saying, look at me. And the devil's going, man, I got this guy so fooled, it's not even funny. And it's like a puppet on a string. Isn't it funny how the world calls sin freedom? Well, I'm free. Don't tell me what to do. Or things like, oh, that won't happen to me, Pastor. I know it happened to that guy, but it won't happen to me. You're duped. Just a puppet on a string. Stop it. Stop it. Stop it. Scripture says this: everyone has sinned. We all fall short of God's glorious standard. No, not one, he says in that passage. There is not one person that is sinless. It's just not, it's not possible. When Adam and Eve broke it, it's been broke. And since then, there's some things that we have to absolutely stay focused in and walk, because if we don't, we won't see the trap that's coming and we'll be in it. Now, that's the bad news. I want to try to help us today, and help me never to say, especially today, point at you. This is about what I'm going through this week, and I want you to join in with me, and let's walk together in this, okay? I told somebody a few weeks ago, I said, if you think you've come, because they were asking me a question, a very good question, by the way, a very sincere question, and it was one that I don't think anybody in the room knows the answer to, or any, because it's been studied for thousands of years and people still fighting about it. And I just said, here's what I said. I said, I want to invite you into something. I want to invite you into a conversation. That's what church really is. It's a conversation with one another where, when we get duped, not if, when it happens, we have each other to lean on. And most of you can tell, if you've been close enough to one another, you can tell when someone is there. So what do? You want to help. You want to be a part of what's going on in their life. What I want to do is, when the enemy seems to win, I want to keep saying, I want you to know that that's accommodative words when I say he won. He wins battles, but the war, I've already said this. I'm not going to qualify that anymore. So what do we do? What do we do? Isn't it wonderful that God doesn't leave us in our dupedness? And here, I'm going to tell you something. If you're treating grace as permission to stay in your dupedness, you don't know what grace really is. What that means is, if you're saying, well, hey, God forgives me anyway, it's okay for me to be in this because it's going to be fine, he's going to love me anyway, and he may love you anyway, doesn't count sin on you, but that is not what he has called you to be or to do. We are not to walk around living deceived. We are walking around needing to walk around with our eyes wide open to everything around us. And I'm going to tell you how we can help ourselves do that. And the first thing we have to do is humble ourselves. We have to humble ourselves. When the enemy wins, our instinct is to hide, just like Adam and Eve did. They covered themselves up, and they got in the trees and said, okay, we're safe here. And God pretended to play hide and seek and where are you and all of that. But he wanted them to understand, you've separated yourself from me. Hiding gives the enemy more ground. Humility invites grace. And it's how we start winning again. Scripture says, God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. And when we give up and say to ourselves, and we walk in complete, we say to ourselves, I have no power over any of this. I am fully dependent upon God. It's the first step of Alcoholics Anonymous, is to announce that you have no power over what's going on in your life. And the sooner we all realize that we're all in an AA of some kind. Didn't get an amen out of that. I just read it. Hi, my name's Keith. I'm a sinner. Saved by the grace of God. When we try to look strong and self-sufficient and in control, the enemy has an open door to whisper lies that sound like the truth. We have to drop the pride, humble ourselves, invite God's grace. The enemy may have won a battle, but he can't claim the war. And the more humility I have, the more I put myself here instead of up there, the more I realize I am not and he is, and I'm only because he is. That's a weird sentence unless you know who God is, right? More about humility in just a bit. But in humility, we move forward. Number two, we don't replay the defeat. Don't replay the defeat. The enemy is going to try to keep us defeated, not by what happened, but by convincing us to replay it over and over and over again in our mind. He wants to turn one bad moment, or even several bad moments strung together, he wants to turn that into your identity. That's why our world's so screwed up right now. Because it's, oh, well, this is who I am. This is what I am. No, it's not. In Jesus' name, you're not. We have to continue to proclaim this in our world in a loving, kind way. Yes, we need to love everybody. Everybody's messed up, so don't forget why you're trying to help someone else, not to get yourself all up in sin. That's another book, another verse in the Word. Here's the thing is, don't let it become who you are. You see, God doesn't define us by our fall. Aren't you glad? That's good news, y'all. God doesn't look at Keith and say, well, boy, you messed it up this week. It's over now. In fact, I don't even think God's shocked by my mess up. I mean, listen to this word and you'll know it's not. The word says the Lord directs the steps of the godly. He delights in every detail of your life. Every detail. Though they stumble, they never fall, for the Lord holds them by the hand. You remember the story a few weeks ago, Peter drowning in the water and Jesus reaching down and saving him. That's God for me all the time. You see, the hoopoe in me may be known for its foolishness, but the moment I lift my eyes up to the Lord, I realize, dude, I got wings, man. I don't have to stay here. I don't have to stay in the spot where I am. And though I've been duped, I am not finished. I am not finished. And that's a cool thing to say, a nice thing to go, hey, man, that's me, Lord. But I'm telling you, every day we have to continue living this. The same God who saw you fall is the same God who's going to raise you up again. And that's good, good news. Then don't waste the lesson. Humble yourself. Don't replay it over and over again in your mind, and don't waste what you have learned from this situation. When the enemy wins, one of the worst things we can do is to find ourselves in this groveling pit of, oh, no, what am I going to do? No. Learn from it. Become wiser. Become stronger. Become more discerning in things in your life. And so you know what? Find out what put you there. When I was doing youth ministry, kids, sometimes they get themselves in trouble and become, you know, sexually active or whatever. And inevitably, someone would get pregnant and they would come to me, oh, we don't know what happened. We don't have a clue what. I know exactly what happened. And it's so strange how we know prior to sin what can wrap us up in it later. And yet we go, not me. I'd love to get a little bit stronger with that. We have little ears in the room. But what we call protection in this world, we call it protection. Come on, y'all. Ain't nothing but Holy Spirit needs to be the protection in that particular situation. And that's for every sin, whether it's sexual or it's whatever. You just pick it out. You say, well, I don't have sin outside of my marriage. I'm faithful to my wife. But, yeah, you yell at her every other day about something she did or didn't do. You can't, that's what I'm saying from the beginning. We can't waste the lesson. We have to learn. It's like walking down a road and seeing a privacy fence with a hole in it. What's in that? And you just put your hand in. On the other side, there's just pit bulls. And you pull your hand out. And you go to work. You bandage it up, you're bleeding, you get a shot for whatever tetanus you need, whatever, all rabies or whatever. And the next day you're walking by the same fence and you go, Yeah, I know, it's hilarious, isn't it? You gotta laugh. I mean, like, I wonder what's behind that. And that's a funny illustration, but let me just be serious for a second. That's exactly why the sin that besets me does me. Not again. I'm not going to do it again. No more again. I'm not going to do it again. I'm not going to do it again. And there it is again. And oh, it looks pretty good. And maybe this time. And I don't know. Maybe I'll just step off into it. Man. Scripture compares that to this. As a dog returns to its vomit, so fools repeat their folly. Graham, I've told you about Graham, our dog. He's awesome. He's pretty amazing. He's an Aussie doodle. He loves a lot of attention or whatever. But a few weeks ago, he killed a bird in the backyard. And you realize that when your cute little Aussie doodle kills a bird in the backyard, you know what he wants to do? He wants to eat it. And that especially makes Liz's skin crawl. I'm like, he is a dog after all, and he loves to chase those birds. And from time to time, he'll catch him one. We see these pictures in our mind. Like, what does God compare this to? A dog going back to his vomit, licking it back up again, going, I like that. I know I threw it up, but I'm in good. And some of you are like sick me talking about it, right? And God compares my going back over and over and over again. And can I just carry that a step further? It's not necessarily just going back into the sin, but it's ruminating over and over and over and over and over in my mind. Well, I guess I'm just a pornographer. I guess I'm just an alcoholic, and that's the way I'm going to be. I guess I'm just going to be angry because that's the way God made me. No, he didn't. God made us, and sin messed us up. But he's got the answer to that. He didn't. Remember, don't let it identify. Don't waste the lesson. Learn from this. Continually reliving without learning is the enemy scheming on you to keep you down. He wants to continually keep you down and keep reminding you of what you did or what someone did to you or whatever it is. Paul deals with a situation in 2 Corinthians 2. You read about it. He dealt with a situation with Corinth where a guy had some really heinous sin, okay, really bad sin, and they had put him out of the church. They said, look, until you get this fixed, you can't come back. It's called disfellowshipping, and they put him out to bring him back. But apparently that had happened, and the dude had learned his lesson, and he's trying to come back, and Paul has to tell them, look, stop beating the boy up. He sinned. He was wrong. He shouldn't have. He's paid his, come on. Why is he telling them to do that? Scripture says, so that Satan would not win anything from us. Satan cannot have anything that I don't give him. Including you. And in this church, we will fight for you. We will pray with you. We'll go to battle with you. A lot of people will get down in the mess with you if we need to. We just want to be that way. Want to be there so that, because we are all well aware of Satan's schemes. Satan has a schematic for you, and he's trying to play it out every day with his little minions running around trying to hurt you. I don't even want to say the word minions have been the cute little yellow guys or whatever. Satan's minions are not like that at all. They hate you. They're working for the prince of demons. They will lie to you all the time. They do not want one thing good for you. And so, hey, don't give them that. You say, well, I'm lost, man. I don't know what to do. I've tried this, and I've done that, and I've tried this. Why don't you try this? So I say, Scripture says, let the Holy Spirit guide your life. Then you won't be doing what the sinful nature craves. He didn't say you wouldn't battle the sinful nature. He just said that's not what your choices are going to be. Not what the sinful nature craves. Learn from the deception. Do not waste the lesson. Now I could give you another whole sermon series on some things to do to battle those. I'm not going to do that. I just want you to depend more on the Holy Spirit to guide you. And before you walk and step off into the same thing again and being duped one more time by the enemy who's deceived you again and tried to trick you, just say, Holy Spirit, will you come and help me, please? I'm telling you, there's power right there. I want to say at our fingertips, but really, he lives in us. He lives in us. It's still taking me. It is taking me time to learn how all that plays out. Because to be honest, when I do sin again, I'm like, you see, I told you earlier that being fooled and coming out of that is kind of like, oh, wait a minute, I've got wings. Well, the cool thing about the hoopoe, if he's watching what's going on, he's learning how to be sober, he not only has wings, but he can fly away from that stuff. And so can you. Don't stay in the dirt. Don't stay where it is. And do not allow things to identify who you are. Humble yourself today. Humble yourself today. Learn from what you've done. Grow in wisdom. Get in the Word. Because the enemy is going to keep you in shame if he can. I don't like the word guilt because I don't like to be guilty. But the word guilt will tell you you did something wrong. The word shame will tell you that is who you are. Guilt will say, I messed up, I blew it. Shame will say, you're a piece of garbage. Give up. You can't do this. And you know in your heart of hearts, you can't on your own. That's why we have to have Holy Spirit in our life. Can I just tell you this as we start to close? Come on, worship team, y'all come on up. Can I just tell you this, that the same God who saw Peter, Jesus, while he's talking to Peter, he's saying, you know, Peter's like, man, I'll die with you, but I'll never. Peter, before the rooster crows, you're going to deny three times that you even know who I am. And imagine when he did that. The Bible says in one of the Gospels, it says that when he did that for the third time and he hears the rooster crow, he realized, and Scripture says, Jesus turned and looked at him. Looked at him. And there's just something about when you're caught in the situation and you're where you shouldn't be and somebody looks at you. Wow. What do I do? Prayer team, please come forward. Come on up. The same Jesus who told Peter he was going to do that, the same Jesus who said, here's what you're about to do, was the same Jesus who baptized Peter in the Holy Spirit later on and entrusted him with what we know, what we think is, it's in Scripture in the book of Acts chapter 2. The first time anybody preaches about Jesus being Lord in past tense, Peter gets to do that. The same one who said, I don't know who he is. I swear I don't know the man. May God bring a curse on me if I know Jesus Christ of Nazareth. I don't know what you're talking about. That did not identify Peter. It would have without Holy Spirit, I do believe. And some of you today are living in the groveling pity of your sin, and you need to stop. Because the truth is, the Lord is waiting on you to accept the grace that he's already given you. And you need to give yourself some grace in it and realize that his grace overrules anything else that's going on in my life right now. And come back to him and trust him. The book of Micah says, do not rejoice over me, my enemies. Though I have fallen, I will rise again. Though I sit in darkness, the Lord will be my light. Will you stand with me, please? Just stand. Try not to leave. If you have to go, it's okay. We've got some with little ones that need to go. It's okay. But I'd really like for everyone to just settle for a moment. Settle in for just a moment. Because this moment in time happens every Sunday in hundreds of thousands of churches and locations and places. But this moment for you is just now. Now. And you know what I'm going to say. If you have any idea about God or anything, the first thing I'm going to say is you need to confess sin today. You need to say to somebody else, this is the sin in my life. I need to confess it to somebody, because James chapter 5 says that when you confess it, you receive healing from that. The devil doesn't have power over it if you're talking about it. You're telling somebody, this is where I struggle. I need you to pray. Yeah, it's okay for you to go ahead and move, by the way. Don't wait till I get done, please. Please, go ahead. If you feel an unction from the Holy Spirit to move for prayer today, whether it's to pray over something that has happened or something that is happening or something that whatever you've done or done to you, maybe it's somebody else you want to come and pray for. Whatever it is, now's the time to do that. Because after confession, I want you to realize that confession is one thing, to say it out loud. Next, we have to repent of our sins. We have to turn from our sins. That literally means if I'm going this way and this is sin, I have to turn away from that and go this way. It's a very simple U-turn process that takes a lifetime. I used to think, well, once I repent, I won't be tempted anymore. Sorry. It doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. In fact, you repent today, and it might get a little harder for a minute, because the devil will test you. Sometimes God will. It's another whole sermon. And then I want to invite some of you who have never, ever in your lifetime been water baptized. When I read the book of Acts, I don't see one time in the book of Acts where people are told about Jesus and the good news of Jesus without water baptism being involved in it some way, shape, form, or fashion. Now, you could argue that. I'm not going to argue about it with you anymore. I stopped doing that years ago. I just know it's part of the process. And really, literally, it's taking a person who is dead and burying them and raising them to walk a new life in a symbolic way. What happens in your heart when Jesus comes into your life and he gives you forgiveness to those, this is actually a profession of that. It's like seeing this ring on my finger means that Liz is mine and nobody else. Hands off. I know some of you are disappointed. But for real, that's what that means. This is a symbol of the love I have for her. This is not it. This is just a symbol of that. And baptism is the same. It's this picture of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of someone. And I want to invite you into that today. You say, well, I didn't bring clothes. We have some clothes. I didn't bring a towel. We got towels. My family's not here. We'll video record it for them. Don't let the enemy dupe you out of this again. Literally, yeah, go ahead and applaud that if you want to. That's all right. And so what I'm going to invite you to do, if you need or want to desire water baptism today, as Alicia did, praise God for you, sis, today. Praise God for that. What she did earlier, you can do the same today. If you have questions about it, Miss Rebecca's standing right here, but she's going to walk to the back door on this side. She'll take you to what you need to get to, get you a place where you need to change clothes. We'll make it happen. If this is what you need, please go let her know right now in the back. Go ahead and be getting ready, because in a moment, we're going to let you come through this door down here. We're going to baptize you. Scripture says those who are baptized into Christ did put on Christ. It's a beautiful thing. And then more than anything, you can do all those things. But if we don't follow Jesus, y'all, and that means be with him, be like him, do as he did. Sermon series for 2026. It's coming. Follow me, he said. And I'll show you how to fish for people. It's a beautiful thing. So, Father, now I pray that as we worship, that there will be people who will come. There'll be people who will move. There already have been some. I pray, Father, more will come that need to, people who need to come and to receive prayer, Lord. God, you know the hearts of all of us right now. You know every mess up. You know every good thing. You know every wonderful thing. You know everything that's going on in our lives, whether it's difficult time or whatever. You haven't gone anywhere. So, Father, we gratefully praise you for your presence. And I ask you, as people make decisions, that you will lead them. And I pray in Jesus' name.
back against you and breathe. Feel your heart beat. This love is so deep. It's more than I can stand. I melt in your peace. It's overwhelming. Oh, we rest in your presence, Lord. The more I seek you, the more I find. Thank you.
revel in your glory. We are here in your presence, Lord. We're never not without you. We're just not, we're always with you, Lord. Thank you that you're always with us. So we revel in your presence. We stand amazed in the presence of Jesus. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. Give us words to utter in the world. Give us words to utter to ourselves. May we speak life everywhere we go. Today seems, it has seemed to me a bit heavy. And I think that's okay. I don't want you to leave feeling down or hurt or scared or anything. Leave with confidence that the enemy does not win the war. Let's leave knowing that and let's live in that every moment of our lives. Let's be who God called us to be in every moment of our life. I love you guys. I love this church. You're the best church on the planet. And I mean that sincerely. You're the best group of messed up people I've ever been around. I love it. I love it. Thank you. Thank you so much. I hope today you will go in peace. I pray that if you came ready to with your tithes today, those of you who are partners in our church, this is not for our guests, but that you will leave those. You guys know where they go, in the box in the back. If you completed an in-house connection card, please connect. That'll come to me and we can connect. That's all that's about. If you will drop those as you go out the back doors, there's a little black box next to each one with a slot. Just drop those in as you leave and we'll connect. And if you did online, I'll get that this afternoon. So thank you so much for being here today. Can we just give it up for our prayer team, for our worship team, for everybody that serves in this church? You're the best church. Now, you guys who have kids, please go rescue our kids workers. We thank you. We love you. God bless.